So a very warm welcome to this bonus call, and just thank you. I want to say first of all for all booking up to join me for the masterclass. I am absolutely super excited to be working with you at on the 25th of February. For a number of you, I can see who are on this call live and also booked. It will be like welcoming you back in some way. And then there's others that I know that are I've not had the chance to work with yet, and some are quite new to their Arbonne business as well. So the whole purpose of tonight's call as a bonus is to give you that chance to really, as I say, hit the ground running and get the most of kind of where we are today, and to allow you to take really positive action between now and when we meet on the masterclass day. The masterclass day will be very, very practical. Okay, so this is where I know there's some questions that some people have sent in. We'll be able to touch on. I'll give some tips to be able to move it forward. But what I'm loving is that a lot of the questions that have come in, I'm going, yes, that's part of the plan of what I'm going to be sharing with you, or some of the exercises during the masterclass day as well. So there will be things, as I say, when I go through questions, I'll go, here's something to move it forward. If it's a bit more of a practical thing, I'd love to share with you. I'm writing lots of notes and I'll go, perfect, but remind me that when we're together, do you know what I mean, to go, remember us, I had that question, and we'll be building that into the training day as well. I am recording this call. There's been a number of people that have said that they're not able to make it, and they wanted to ask questions and also hear the replay. So I've got a list of questions that some people have sent me in already, because they knew they weren't going to come. But what I always do with live calls is I make sure that those that gave their time and their attention and focus to be here, I will be answering your call. So you get basically first priority effectively. So please do take advantage of that. I'll then obviously dive into some of the questions that have come through, and also pull together some of the key themes that the questions that I've already seen as well. So this is a Q&A call. And with any Q&A calls, it requires questions. Otherwise, it'll be quite quiet, don't you agree? So I haven't honestly prepared any kind of training type of thing for this call. It's not the purpose of it. So as I say, please do, even as you're sitting here, I mean, either live or on the replay, think about what do you need to get from the call. Okay, so it doesn't even matter what the questions that come up or what questions that you have just now. Even just by giving yourself that grounded few seconds to go, right, I'm committing my time to be here live or listen to the replay. What would I need to get from this next hour for it to be really valuable for me? And the reason why I ask you to do that, first of all, is because the way our minds work is if it focuses the attention on going, right, I really want to kind of focus on, let me give you an example, I really want to get some top tips about how I can just keep myself focused and take action, okay? So there might be someone that asks a question that's not directly around that particular thing, but if you've primed your mind about what you want to get out of the call, your mind will hear what I say and what we share and even the questions in a very different way as well. I always use an analogy of, imagine, remember the olden days when we had the yellow pages? You would never open up the yellow pages going, let me go and look for a number, or let me look for a business, would you? No, you'd be barking mad. So that's kind of where a lot of times even people come onto calls or go to training events, and actually what they don't do is they don't really think about how do I actually get the best use of this as well. So that actually is also prompted by one of the questions I'm going to just kind of build upon. Marnie asked me a question which was very much about what would be the best way. So I'm just going to read it. So I've got, what would be the best way to be able to motivate and train lots of people that so that each of them get the best for them from a single training? The key thing I'd say there is ask people that are coming to a training what they want to get from it. They don't always have to share it with you, but actually, even by getting you to think about, or the people in an audience to think about, what would success look like for you, it absolutely primes them in terms of to take in that information. So think about that in terms of even an opportunity meeting, okay, or any type of presentation, or even a one-to-one or a small kind of group. Can you see if somebody's coming to that meeting or whatever that situation is, and they've got questions in their mind, but they're not sure about something? Even by asking them, what is it that you need to get from this that's going to help you move forward in some way? Okay, that then allows them, as I keep saying, to kind of have a question in their mind or an intention in their mind, and they'll get so much more from that meeting, or they'll ask the right questions, or they'll hear the right things that they need to get them that value. Does that make sense? Has anybody ever had that experience where you've heard a great training or something and you walk away, you go, that was great, but what am I going to do with it? I mean, and that's what I want to allow us to start off with, to go, what is it that you want to get from it? So I hope that helped, Marnie, in terms of just to prime people. And there's a few other things that I'll come back to, hopefully, that I can share about some top tips. So for those, I can see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of my clients from the group coaching Transformation Exchange, so welcome. So you'll be familiar with how these calls typically work. They are very much Q&A, as I've said before. And I would encourage you also to use the chat function as we go through. And think about it like being a live type of Twitter feed or a live chat. Because even as I'm talking and I'm sharing something, if you've got that kind of that, yeah, I totally agree, or that makes sense, or further questions about it, by you typing away and priming your mind in that sense, you'll be more actively engaged in what's happening rather than just letting it kind of wash over you. So any comments, any kind of like agreements or anything you want to share as well, because I'm not here trying to say that I've got all the answers to your questions. A lot of the answers will come from each other, which will be a big part of the Mastermind Day as well. So without further ado, I am going to invite the lovely people here to have their questions asked, for you to ask your questions. So the best way to do that is either literally just, if you've got your camera on, just you can kind of wave to me so I know that you've got a question. There's also some functions that you should be able to find in the kind of side the chat box, I believe it is, where you can kind of find a button that says raise hand. So that then just gives me a bit of an indicator to say you do have a question at some point, and I'll make sure that we get to that question. And also we've got the great chat box as well that you can kind of say, yep, question, or even type in your question as well. So who would like to be the brave person that would like to go first on this live call with their question? Perfect. So I see Debbie. Perfect. So if you want to unmute yourself, Debbie.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. My question is, I've kind of really struggled with consistency.
Yeah.
And consistency in activity, mm-hmm. not in personal development and things like that. It's been activity due to family commitments and things like that. How and what would you recommend to overcome that?
Perfect. Great question. Okay. So also, Katie Fuller, if you're listening to the replay, this is kind of similar to your question as well. And does anybody else ever have the same kind of situation? They've got kind of, yeah, perfect. So I think we can kind of all talk about this, right? So here, it is about what we do with our time, and consistency is absolutely key. So again, some of my lovely clients here would know what I'm going to say, some of the things. Okay, I see some smiles going, yep, you're talking to me. Consistency is key, because what effectively we do, Debbie, is we're effectively training our minds every single day to kind of allow us to go, what do we do? What kind of person am I? Okay, so if you are the type of person, and I'm just generalizing this now for a lot of people, but you chip in with any examples as well, Debbie. If you're the type of person that you have a full list of things to do on your to-do list, and you sometimes do them, you start and you stop, you start and you stop, what does that do to your mind, do you think? Okay, so feel free to type away in the chat box, or even, you know, tell me, Debbie, what does it feel to you when you are not consistent then? Sometimes you're doing it, sometimes you're not.
I lack motivation.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hard on myself when I don't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times it can have a lot of things what happens in here. So what we say to ourselves, we can become really overcritical. We can then actually get really kind of frustrated by it. Do you know what I mean? Or really flustered. And all of those things are kind of what's happening in here, but as a result of what's happening here, it has an impact on what happens out there, what you do or what you don't do. So even, for example, if you are that type of person that you're not really being as consistent and that you want to be, kind of asking yourself in terms of, is that the type of person I want to be, right? Because that gives a big element in terms of who you then are. Your mind starts to kind of then go, well, actually, you don't really follow through anyway. I mean, you're kind of one of those people that kind of like starts and stops. You're never going to get anywhere there. I mean, these are just my words. So I'm not saying for you to take them on.
It's true.
It's true. Does that make sense? So instead of you actually trying to get through a hundred of things that's really unachievable, right? I'm actually a firm believer that less is really more. Okay. So therefore, if you were looking at your week, and we're going to spend time doing this on the masterclass about, you know, different kind of tools about particular time management. But if you really look at how many hours you've got that week to do what you want to do, and that can fluctuate, especially with having a family. Do you know what I mean? And work, do you work as well, Debbie, just now?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So there may be some weeks that you can look at your diary and go, this is a week perfect where actually I've got 2 nights to be able to dedicate to grow my business. So then you can then go, right, with those 2 nights, what's the best things that's going to help me to move things forward that you can consistently follow and actually do? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But yep. Can you see that there might be some weeks where you go, actually, there's only like 1 day or 1 night I've got, or I've only got half the normal time, right? The worst thing that you can then do is to try and do everything that you plan to do or you would normally do in a week where you've got double the time and try and squeeze it into doing it when you don't have that time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because what you'll end up doing is you'll just get flustered, you'll get frustrated, you'll get really pissed off, excuse my language, with yourself if you don't get it all done. And it's so much easier to then stop taking action. Do you know what I mean? So I always talk about the difference between a stretched goal and a strained goal. If you've set yourself up and it's so strained, even when you think about it, it's mm-hmm. so much easier to snap and just go, I can't do this. Do you know what I mean? Next week's a better week. So you actually end up doing nothing rather than doing something. Is this helping so far, Debbie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So really, consistency is key. I would actually be saying to you, even look at the things that you've got on your list and go, okay, what are my minimum standards? Okay, so that would be like the minimum that every single week that without fail, I know I can consistently deliver without it even being an issue. I mean, I wouldn't even think about it. And where you are might be, you might go, but seriously, that's really nothing. Do you know what I mean? Compared to what I would need to do to get to where I want to get to. But you're actually better off going, okay, well, let me do that for that, you know, maintain that for like 2 or 3 days to then go, okay, well, I've made 2 calls consistently every day. Well, now I'm going to step up to my minimum standard is going to be 4 calls. And therefore, you're always building upon it and building upon where you've come from, but you're not trying to go from one extreme to the other either. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, yep. And then what that then does, and the reason why I'm telling you to do that, I'm suggesting, is because it helps you to then follow through so that you're training your unconscious mind to go, okay, when I say I'm going to do something, I actually do it. Therefore, when you even start to plan your diary, it's actually going to be so much more valuable because your mind's kind of going, right, okay, you're doing it, you're writing it down, it's going to happen, rather than I'm writing it down, but I kind of know it's not going to happen. So therefore, it stops that kind of that motivation and it stops the actual discipline there as well if you're not consistent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I hope that helps. Time blocking is also one. So again, this goes back to Katie's question and also for you. And we will spend more time, as I say, in the masterclass. Time blocking is really, really key, okay? And what I mean by this is spending your time doing similar type of activities make a huge, huge difference, right? So has anybody here ever been to like a buffet restaurant of some sort? Yeah, probably in Las Vegas. I mean, I know they're filled with buffet restaurants, right? But can I ask you a question? And again, there's no judgment if you do this, right? Do you ever go to a buffet though, and you get your plate, and you go and get your plate, and you go, right, I'm going to have some soup, but as long as I'm going to have my soup, but I'm also going to have some pizza, and I'm also going to have some ice cream and cake, and I'm also going to have my coffee with it, and then I'm also going to have some, like, you know, other type of kind of starters, and, you know, you have 1 spoon of soup, and then you have a spoon of cake, and then you have, you know, some chips. Do you kind of do that? Yeah, okay, right. Some people do. But have you ever had that sensation where even if you do that, do you actually really enjoy that meal? Do you really kind of get the essence of what that meal's all about? I mean, that experience? You don't really, because you're kind of, your mind's kind of going, I'm having hot soup, but now I'm having ice cream. Seriously, you know, yeah, I like them both, right? But they don't kind of really go together. So that's just my kind of, my crudest analogy of a metaphor of how a lot of people manage their time. They don't batch their time. They don't block their time. So they look at their time and they go, right, okay, I've got an hour. Do you know what I mean? And then they go, right, I'm going to do my emails. Oh, okay, then I'm going to make phone calls. Then I'm going to like think about what I'm going to, you know, do for my next presentation. Then I'm going to do my personal development. And they basically go from one task to the other, to the other, to the other in that one time block. And what you actually do is you waste a lot of energy. You're actually going to get yourself out of a lot of zones as well, because you're not giving yourself that chance to really get into something in a really deep and meaningful way, even in a short period of time. You with me on that one? Yeah. So have you ever had that situation? I'll give one other example here, where if you've been speaking to someone on the phone, right, and you're in flow, okay, the conversation's flowing, you're just feeling great about things. And then after you get off the phone to them, can you imagine if you were to pick up the phone to the next person? You'd actually be more in that zone, wouldn't you? You'd probably go, right, perfect, yeah, how are you getting on? I was just thinking about you, do you know what I mean? And it probably wouldn't take a lot for you to kind of keep and work through that whole list that you want to and make more meaningful phone calls in that hour. I'm just using an hour as an example, than if you try to make those phone calls like throughout the whole day. So that's where I would also say, you know, Debbie, going back to your question as well, for consistency, even blocking your time and be like, let me be consistent about this particular kind of thing. And then you're setting yourself up for success as well. So has this helped you? And has anybody else got any examples where you think actually they could be better off time blocking and doing more similar type of activities rather than jumping from one thing to the other? Yeah, any thoughts or questions from anybody else on that?
No? I think, I work obviously all day.
Yeah.
And it helps me to do a little 15-minute block or something, mm-hmm. like on my break, and then another 15 or half an hour block on my lunch. And then I know that when I come home from work, I know that I've done stuff today and I feel much better, as opposed to getting home from work and being like, oh my god, I've got so much to do, I've done nothing. That helps me
absolutely, and that's great, because I know we spoke about it before. So even small actions that are really focused, it then allows you to get more impact. And that's why, even does anybody here have a to-do list? So I typically have what I call a master to-do list, where literally everything that I want to get done, it goes onto like this master kind of list. So it's kind of out of my head, so therefore it's not like plates are kind of spinning. So I'm kind of saying to my mind, when I put something down, I go, cool, I've got it, it's noted, right? So I'm going to get around to it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen straight away, because obviously some things get prioritized, you know, depending on diary, etc., and what I'm going to do. But then when I'm looking at my diary, I then batch it accordingly to different tasks. So sometimes it's like coaching days I have. Other times it's quite admin blocks or finance kind of blocks or creativity blocks if I'm doing podcasts or, you know, blogs, etc., or creating content for a training course. So when I'm actually doing that activity then, can you see how I'm not then having to sit and go, right, it's 9 o'clock, oh, that's my block, what should I do, and try and figure it out? It's so much easier to then look through my batch of my master list to go, right, where are all those kind of activities? So therefore, I'm hitting the ground running in that way as well. So I hope some of these tips really, really help. It makes a huge difference. Like today, for example, today was a day where I was in the office all day. It was an admin day for me. So it was I had no coaching calls today. I had no phone calls. I don't like a proactive phone calls, but literally I was kind of getting things organized for those calendar invites, etc., and plans for the transformation exchange. You know, so literally I remember walking out today going, I literally blitzed today. Do you know what I mean? Because I just knew what the day was going to be. I kept in that energy, and therefore it then just allowed you to become more focused in that sense. So Hazel's also saying, work out what's income generating first. Absolutely agree, in terms of, you know, when we're focusing on time, especially if you've got limited time, always ask yourself, is this the best thing for me to do to move things forward in my business? Okay. One caveat I would say for that is that things can be quite income generating, and I know, but there may be some times that if you look at it like a week or a month overall, you'll go, okay, it's also really important for me to do this, otherwise it'll have an impact. So say, for example, this month, you know, or last month, doing self-assessment kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So you might have went, actually, I've got a limited amount of time and I really want to make sure that everything's income generating. And me trying to work out or doing all my expenses, etc., is not income generating. Well, you kind of still have to do it. Do you know what I mean? So that's why income generating, absolutely, but you also just want to make sure that you're still thinking about what you want to be doing and some of the plans and scheduling that accordingly. So that would be like me, for example, if I was too busy coaching clients every single day, you know, which would be kind of income generating activity for me, but I wasn't then going, right, what's the plans for 3 months time down the line, I've got a workshop or I'm doing something, well, that wouldn't then happen. And therefore, you'd get to a point and you'd go, okay, this isn't, it's not kind of working in that sense. So hope that helps. So any other questions? Obviously, I can go on and on and on and on. And there's going to be a lot more around to kind of time management and stuff. So just kind of make that beneficial when we're there. And Hazel's just saying, give yourself a break. If things become overwhelming, simplify and choose one thing to focus on. Absolutely. Simplicity is really key, and that helps consistency as well. So Sheena, I saw your hand going up there as well. So hope, Debbie, that helps you. Feel free to keep asking anything else as we go. But Sheena, I'm going to unmute you for a second. On you go, Sheena.
Hello. Yes, I'm in a slightly different position to everybody else because I don't have a full-time job during the day. I have a husband who is now retired and who has his own agenda for me. He hates anything to do with our bond. Having said that, I just told him yesterday, this is a big thing for me, that I am going to Las Vegas this year. I already have a ticket and I've still got to get myself booked, flights, etc. But I am now super excited myself. I'm kind of starting back from scratch again, I feel. Mm-hmm. And my mind's in a whirl. I've got so many things that I want to do. And you've already answered some of the questions, but I want to try and work out how to focus calmly on what I need to do and then balance my time with my husband that he demands as well to keep him happy. I have a bit more time during the day perhaps than some others, mm-hmm. but I'd also have a very busy life with my children who are at critical stages of going to uni. So my mind's in a bit of a whirl.
Perfect. Good question. And again, so I could take the core of your question, Sheena. And again, there's a few people that have kind of asked that kind of similar questions about how do I, you know, best way to kickstart myself or the courage if I'm relaunching my business or I'm going for it again. So I know it's not exactly your question, but I can kind of see kind of a similarity with it. So one thing I'm going to say, and it kind of goes back to slightly Debbie's question as well, is we all need to also recognize and acknowledge and be really, I'm going to use the word grateful, right? Because obviously it depends on personal circumstances. Grateful for all the situations that we've got in life, right? So that's, for example, like if you've got a husband that wants to spend time with you, fantastic, right? Can you imagine having a husband that doesn't want to spend time with you? You'd probably have different conversations and challenges there, right? But also, I hear this a lot with people that have got kids as well, and I've obviously got two kids as well now, even though it's kind of scary, I don't think I'm responsible enough for that, right, yet. But it gives you that chance to go, if you look at what your minimum, again, it's not the minimum standards, but it's like, what is the things that are real important to you in your life? So for example, Sheena, if you go, right, okay, with my husband, it's so important that I spend this amount of time with him. Do you know I mean? And my kids, it's so important that I spend, you know, how many evenings with them or whatever that might look like. And then that's cool. And if you go, but that's for me, that's absolutely non-negotiable, then that then allows you to realize that you are prioritizing them in your life as well. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And therefore, it stops people from having that element of going, I'm so pulled in lots of different directions and, you know, the kids are taking my time. Because sometimes when we're growing our business, if we don't have those priorities right, we can actually start to resent some of those things. You don't have to agree with me or tell me if you've ever felt that, but you get the sense of, you can sometimes go, seriously, do I need to go and sit and, you know, read my kids a story or do the homework, etc.? Whereas actually, you might be going, I'm doing my business to give my kids a better life. So we actually are not doing that though. Do you mean in the here and now? So the reason why I'm saying this, Oshina, is it gives everybody that chance to go, what are my non-negotiables? What are the things that I'm going to plan and organize and be really accepting of in terms of what I can do? So therefore it gives you that chance to go, well, now when I look at it, how many time, hours or days, etc., that I do have to make things really count. I also hear you say that you don't work full time, so you have more time on your hand. That's fantastic. But I'd also say, Sheena, on that one, from my experience of working with especially Arbonne business owners that have got lots of time on their hands, sometimes too much time is not good either, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, because if you're constantly thinking, I've got 5 days to do my Arbonne business to grow it, you might actually kind of not really make the most of those 5 days. I mean, whereas actually you might be better off just going, you know, I'm only still going to work on my Arbonne business, like, you know, like 3 days out of it. Do you know what I mean? Out of the five. And I'm going to give myself permission to not think about Arbonne, not talk about Arbonne, etc. for those other times. And you'll actually become more productive and more focused, rather than allowing it to completely consume you and not then actually get you to be at the best, you know, on top of your game on that. So I can see some people are smiling, going, yep, they can recognize that story. So it's kind of one of the worst things, not one of the funniest things that people kind of don't expect me to say when they go, I've got, you know, all this stuff, I'm doing this and doing that. I'm going, you're doing too much. Actually shorten the amount of time that you're trying to build your business on that area, because you'll get more further. So does that help so far, just around just some of those kind of tips around kind of just planning accordingly to what you've got in your life? Because we all have things in our life, and I want to make sure for you, you don't start to, and I'm just mind reading this lately, but you don't start to resent elements of it. You can go, I'm still choosing, this is a big part of my life, and I want to make this happen, so I'm going to do it in a way that works well. I'd also say environment's really key. Okay, so especially if your husband's retired, I would also very especially make a point in your case to get yourself out of the house at points in, okay? So because otherwise it becomes harder to sometimes have some boundaries in place, okay? So that's where if you then are out of sight, I mean, it gives you that chance to go, okay, I'm not going to be thinking about, you know, doing this or that or the washing or whatever. You go, right, this is where I go, and when I'm there, I'm going to absolutely maximize that time to focus on my business. So that could be a coffee shop, it could be, you know, some place, a library or whatever. It means for you to go, when I'm there, this is my time to kind of really focus on the right kind of activities in that sense. And then I'd also kind of just kind of change, you know, think, pick up on what you said. It's like, it feels like you're relaunching what you're doing. Celebrate that. Because the amount of times that people will go through that whole journey of they'll be totally on board or not really, you know, that kind of roller coaster effect. You are where you are. Okay. So it gives you a chance to go, you've agreed with yourself, you've decided that this is what you're going to do, so celebrate that. I'd also say for you and anybody else that's kind of feeling like that they're at that point or they're refreshing, do you know what I mean, or they're relaunching in a way, do take some time though to be still and kind of go, what do I need to learn though about what happened before? Okay, and this isn't about, you know, wallowing in what happened before, because I'm sure you'll recognize that you actually did a lot of great things before. Okay, so that's where it gives you a chance to go, well, what worked really well before? Do you know something? I have got X amount of preferred clients over the years. I've had so many people, you know, X amount of people join my team, etc. So it gives you that chance to go, it isn't me starting from zero, it's actually me starting further down that journey, and what can I learn from that? Other times you might go, okay, I learned that I burnt myself out, or the way that I was talking to people or approaching it just wasn't getting results. So then it gives you that chance to go into this next phase of your business without kind of repeating those same habits or those same behaviors again. You can go, right, so what am I going to learn from it this time? What am I going to consciously do this time that's going to be different? And therefore it also trains you and your unconscious mind to go, you are doing this differently. So therefore, to pick up some of those old habits and just go, that isn't going to happen anymore. So I know I've rambled, Sheena, there a lot. Do you know what I mean? And I can see some other nods and heads as I'm talking. But has that helped kind of give you some food for thought and help in that way?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yep, definitely.
Cool. Perfect. Yep. Cool. So I can see Hazel's hands up. And I think, Ali, your hand went up as well. So I'll come to you afterwards, Ali, if you've got a question. So Hazel, if you want to unmute yourself then.
I just wanted to say to Sheena that I was exactly where, obviously I wasn't relaunching my business, but from a whole point of being a stay-at-home mum and having the daily disciplines and doing less, and as Osmond knows, I was an absolute culprit for saying, Hazel, stop doing so much. Because I was just getting, trying to do everything. I was completely overwhelmed with my business. And what I have changed in January is basically I am doing a lot less, but I'm doing quality. I'm following the process. I am doing X amount a day. I'm doing a little bit every day. And it's showing up in the momentum of my business already. And it's making such a difference. And everyone all around is happier. I don't have any guilt with the kids because I'm planning ahead that I'm doing time with them, and we're doing this and we're doing that. And they know that's when they've got mum. And the rest of the time, I'm just making sure that I'm doing as much as I can during the day when they're at school. And so literally just make sure, it's so hard for, I've always said this, it's easier for folk that work full time to do our own, because we have to be so much more disciplined. But if you can get daily habits in place, that this is how much I do every day, this is what I say I'm going to do tomorrow, and you write it down the night before. These are the people I'm going to contact. This is my, you know, put a wee process in place. You know, and it's made such a difference to me. And yeah, and if you want to talk offline about exactly what I've done, then no problem.
Perfect.
Okay. Thanks
for sharing that, Hazel. I was actually thinking about you when I was saying that, but I didn't want to obviously put you in the spotlight there. So I'm glad that you shared your example from it as well. Perfect. So I'm going to go to Ali, and then I see Steph and Fiona's hands up. And then there is also Maddie or Barry. I really apologize. That's one name that in my head, it's kind of a real block when I see it. So I'll then come to your question in the chat as well. So Ali, over to you.
Hi Oz. So I think my question actually is really quite similar to Marie Claire's, to be honest. Emotional ups and downs. So one of the first questions that I sent you was, how would you recommend tackling a roller coaster mentality? So sometimes I find that 1 minute, you know, after leaving a training or doing personal development or getting some success in my business, I feel just on top of the world.
Yeah.
But then very quickly, some doubts creep in, and I completely lose momentum and I feel quite low. And sometimes I almost feel guilty about having those high points, which is a strange emotion, but it is definitely like an emotional roller coaster, and I think it is holding me back and potentially others as well.
Absolutely. So what I would say for that would be, I love these questions. It just puts me on the spot to go, what would I say if you were sitting in front of me, like we are in coaching? I would say is recognizing what's actually happening, okay? So when you come out of, say, for example, a training course of some sort, even just by going, okay, so like, dive deeper. So sometimes we can be quite superficial. So we might go, oh, I'm feeling really inspired. I mean, I'm feeling motivated, but actually going, so on that drive home, for example, or after you come off a Zoom call, just go, so I'm feeling real inspired, but inspired to do what? Okay. So for example, you might go, that's given me the confidence because I heard some great tips about actually how do I manage my time more effectively. Okay. So therefore, what am I going to do that's going to help me put that into action? And it allows it to then kind of stop from being that kind of that spike kind of effect. I mean, you've got that whole emotions, the whole chemicals in your body where you're kind of at an event of some sort. So then, but when you take action, it allows you to then deliver on what was actually motivating you or what was inspiring you in that sense as well. Does that help with that kind of, so being more specific with yourself, but also on the flip side, if you are starting to be, you know, a bit hard on yourself, and again, Marie Claire, your questions are a wee bit like the emotional ups and downs as well, is again, catching them as soon as you can. Do you know what I mean? So if you're actually feeling really rubbish, right, or whatever you say to yourself, okay, that's because that's a result of what's been happening in your mind or what your focus has been prior to that. Okay, so anytime, so you want to make sure that you don't get yourself right to that kind of that dip, because it's like you're well into it, and that's kind of you then seeing the kind of the cracks through the wallpaper, whereas actually behind the wallpaper is probably where some of the foundations have been unsettled. Okay, so that's whenever you're starting to feel a kind of a way where your motivation is dipping, or your feelings are dipping, or your confidence, whatever label you use, just by recognizing, going, okay, so you know, whatever you say to yourself, but it's just catching it, going, you know, what's happening just now? Do you know what I mean? What am I thinking right now? And I guarantee you, if you're starting to feel quite down or negative, your mind's probably oscillated more towards focusing on things not going well, or going, oh yeah, well, this isn't going to happen, or so many days till the month end, and you know, I'm not going to achieve that. Or, but that's your mind's been focusing on what you don't really want to happen. And therefore, but you might not be aware of it consciously, but ultimately it's how it's having an effect on your feelings. And therefore, it's going to have that ripple effect without you realizing it. But the sooner you actually kind of catch it, you kind of go, okay, right, but do I want to choose to feel like that? It gives you that power back to go, right, am I going to choose to feel like that? No, okay. But what do I have to then do to start to turn that around? Or what do I have to do to learn from it? That is my biggest and most favorite coaching question ever. I mean, if I never had to read another personal development book or anything in this world, by having that resource of going, the question of what do I need to learn from that? That is an absolute killer question, because what that does is it allows your unconscious mind, who actually doesn't really care about your emotions, to be honest. It's like a computer system. It just kind of goes, this is how I feel. This is what I should do. This is how I should react. But if you think about something that's happened and you go, okay, well, what do I need to learn from that? As soon as you've got the learnings, your unconscious mind is primed to let go of the emotions. It's like it neutralizes it, and therefore it allows you to move on. Does that make sense? So you might turn around and go, what do I need to learn from how I felt yesterday? Well, actually, I learned that, you know, I didn't follow my to-do list. I mean, or I chickened out picking up that phone to that person. Okay, so what do I need to learn from that? Well, actually, I need to learn that I'm going to continuously feel this way, but actually I could have had that call. I mean, there's plenty of times for me to do it. Whatever the learnings are, I can't tell you what the learnings are. It's trusting what comes up for you. It then allows you to kind of like move forward from where you were and get yourself back on that upwards kind of spiral as well. Does that help answer your question so far? Was there any other kind of part of your question that I've not covered as much, or what's your thinking so far? Do you know what I mean? Because I know I ramble a lot when I do these Q&A calls.
No, I think that's been really helpful for me. And it was kind of my question and Marie Claire's. So.
Yeah. And I think it's also just being really kind to yourself. And I don't mean that in being too nice either, because if we're sometimes too nice, we just don't push yourself out of a comfort zone, right? We don't grow. Yeah. But it is also just about kind of asking yourself, you know, like the mother favourite question is compared to what? Do you know what I mean? If you're saying something like, oh, I'm not being successful, do you know what I mean? This month isn't successful, compared to what? Do you know what I mean? And you can go, well, actually, am I really having that true comparison? Do you know what I mean? And yes, there can be things that are what I call excuses, right? And that's like self-made things. But there's also times where they're actually real life things that are happening. So again, I'm just going to, you know, you don't have to acknowledge it, Carolina, but I know you're doing a massive renovation in your house and stuff, right? So, and that's changed your what you would typically want to do in your routines and your structures. But if you were to kind of compare to going, well, actually, well, you know, this time last year I wasn't doing that. Do you know what I mean? Well, so it gives you that chance to go, well, that's understandably why things are a bit different or I feel a bit different this month. So then you can go, well, that's fine, because that's not going to be the case all the time. And it stops yourself from being too hard on yourself on something that's actually really kind of tangible at that point. I mean, you're not using it as an excuse, but you're going, it's just the way it is, so that's fine, I'm going to accept it, but I'm going to do the best I can from the time that I've got available. Does that help in that sense? Yeah. Marie Claire, does that help answer your question as well, or is there any other specifics? If you've got any other specifics, then do let me know as well. Cool, right? And I'm going to go with Fiona then. Fiona, do you want to unmute yourself?
I'm unmuted.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, Steph, on you go. I should write this in. Steph, on you go.
All right. I actually think you've pretty much answered it. It was just basically, obviously, I've been with Arbonn for a long time. And it's kind of got to the point where I die a little bit inside going to trainings. I die a little bit, like, when, not that, like, I'm so proud of everyone for what they do, but yeah. When folks are getting up and getting, like, what's the word, recognized for the work they do, it's brilliant for them, but inside I'm like, oh my god. And I know Arbonn is the most supportive group of people I've ever encountered, but yeah, it just feels like it's all these stupid things you create in your brain, like, mm-hmm. Oh my god, everyone's looking at me. Even though nobody even cares. It was just basically how you lift yourself out of that funk, like.
Yeah, perfect. Steph, can I ask you a question? So since joining Arbonn, what are all the great things that you've achieved that are not Arbonn related as well?
Oh, okay. So I have became a yoga teacher. I am building a studio.
Does that make sense? Right, okay, right. Yeah. So you can't compare your journey, even if you started the exact same day as someone compared to someone else, because we have completely different lives, okay? Yeah. You have made decisions that you've chosen to make, which is fantastic for you, because we all get to make our own decisions. But obviously those decisions can have an impact on lots of things. I mean, in all areas of our life. So I think as long as we start to kind of recognize actually, but you're still the controller of your life, right? So you need to kind of make sure now for you to move forward that you are designing what you want to happen according to your agenda. Does that make sense, right? So this is where you might go, based upon all the things that I'm doing just now, I want to kind of can grow my Arbonn business, but this is what success would look like for me. So somebody else might be going, seriously, Steph, you know, that's like a snail's pace, right, compared to them, but they're not doing the other things necessarily, or they've got other priorities or other commitments or less, but that's okay. And also just recognize the fact that, you know, we often think, for example, that we... people think too much about us more than they actually really do, to be honest, right? So it is just recognizing that the fact that the only person really is that's feeling that is you, but that's okay. but just channeling that into the, but what do I need to kind of learn from that? Do you know I mean that's going to help me? You're still here. That says a lot. You could have quite easily given up. Do you know what I mean? Again, and I mean this in a really nice way, and this is why actually I'm not in Arbonne or particular, because I can say things that are different, because over the years I've known people that actually, but they're in it, but they actually don't want to be in it, do you know what I mean? Or it's not the right thing for them. So I would say, for example, and I'm really honest with clients when they say that, I go, well, you need to choose what you want to do. But if you are there, if you're still turning up and you're still here on this call, that shows me that there is something that you still want to do to make this happen. Now you just need to kind of go, right, how do I then carve that success for me and be consistent with the actions and kind of give yourself that chance to then go, right, this is my time, whatever that looks like for you in terms of your goals.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much.
Cool. No worries. Does that help anybody else from kind of just that question as well? Yeah, perfect. Cool. So I'm going to go over to Fiona now. Fiona?
Hey, Steph is a legend, by the way. Just going to put that out there.
I agree.
What I was going to ask is, sometimes I get a bit of a block when I'm trying to talk to somebody who, like, in my mind, I guess I kind of, like, it's usually like professional people, you know, like people who maybe I work with, and I think, oh my god, like I'd cringe and die rather than talk to them about this. Where I know it's brilliant and I know that I'm doing it because it's a really good opportunity and all the reasons I'm doing it and that it could help them, but something stops me from talking to them.
Yeah, perfect. Good question. And there's another question that's come in that's got a similar kind of vein to that as well. So if you were that person asking it, you'll go, oh, because your mind will kind of pick up and get this answer as well. Remember, Fiona, right, and I've read this somewhere, so I can't credit who it came from, but just remember, that guy or that woman, they still put their pants on the same way that you do every morning, right? Hopefully they wear pants, right? Or some form of underwear, okay? So sometimes in our mind, we can kind of put a label based upon what we perceive. It's all about perception. So you might go, oh, how can I ask them? Because they've got a really successful business, I mean, or they're really high up in what they do in my field. They go, oh, are you crazy, right? But actually, people are just people, okay? So therefore, it's also about then going, well, the way that you do it is the key thing, okay? So you could do it in a way of actually going and not getting attached to the outcomes. I use that phrase all the time as well. So if you get to the point going, I actually don't care if they choose to join or not, but all I care is that I've given them the chance to kind of hear about it in some way, okay? So that, can you see how that can change the way that you approach it as well? You're not going there as a like, oh, I'm trying to pitch this thing for you. Do you mean I'm trying to prove it for you? Do you know what I mean I'm trying to get some kind of validation? And, you know, I'm not saying you are, but some people go, I'm speaking to you, but I really don't want you to knock this down because I'm doing this. But can you see, so your intention is really, really key there. Do you know what I mean if you go, well, actually, even if it's not necessarily sitting down and going, right, I need to speak to you about it. But in your everyday life, if you have that chance to kind of interact with them on an ongoing basis, you can be drip feeding some of that kind of that conversation. Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be going straight for the, you need to hear about what I do. It could just be the purposefully, I mean, when you're talking about the weekend, kind of going, well, you know, I'm so excited, that's what I'm doing. And, you know, and getting them to be intrigued more, okay? Mm-hmm. And watching for signs. If they kind of, if they're constantly going, if they were looking at you going, what have you been smoking, right? Well, that may give you a good feedback mechanism to go, well, actually, they don't seem to be even inspired by it, or that nothing lights up for them when they even hear about, you know, a certain product or a certain kind of, you know, your business. So that, yes, you know, you can have a choice to go, am I going to take that next step? Okay. I'm the firm believer of, when it comes to sales as well, and again, this comes from my background from using kind of Wealth Dynamics, etc., a profiling tool is, have you ever heard the analogy of, you know, in sales, it's like you need to close the deal, close the sale. Mm-hmm. You with me on that one? Have you heard that before? Well, that's kind of like, my mindset of that is, it's like you're trying to trap someone into the room and trying to close the door on them and go, right, decide. But instead, if you have that mindset, if you're on everybody of going, well, actually, I'm going to open the door and that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to open the door and I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to invite them. Something that open the door might be, do you know something? I keep thinking about you and how actually, from what I've heard you talk about, you know, that, you know, what you want to do, you want to do something else, etc. You're running out of time. I just always think that this could be something that's good for you. Do you know what I mean? And you might want to hear more about it. But all you're doing there is you're opening up the door for them to go, oh, tell me more, or, oh, yeah, welcome to that opportunity meeting, or going, ah, nah, it's fine. No, it's not for me. So you're not trying to open the door and push them through it, right? and actually don't really care if they go through that door or not, because that's not your decision to kind of make. You can't own that decision, but all you can do is go, well, how many doors have I opened? And the, hopefully that, even when it doesn't matter what you think of that person or their experience or their level, that then hopefully can just reframe it for you to go, I'm only opening the door to see if that moves it forward. But also having some counter examples can really help, right? So, you know, like as soon as you have a belief of something, it's like what your mind does, right? So like, I'm just going to use an example. So can you see I've got my pen here, right? So imagine I've got my pen tightly gripped in my hand and I grip it so tightly, effectively it gets to a certain point that actually I can't feel that pen anymore. It's like integrated into my hand. Does that make sense? I can't really feel it. A lot of that can happen with our beliefs and our perception as well, okay? But as soon as we like loosen it even so slightly by having one contradiction to it, it gets you to go, it's not always true. Do you know what I mean? So that's like saying something like, oh, so-and-so, they're always late, right? So if, even if you go, well, actually, they're always late. Even if you go, well, yesterday they were early. Do you know what I mean? What that does is your mind kind of then kind of goes, oh, it doesn't compute anymore. It can't hold that fact in the same way anymore. So what I'm trying to say here is, if you were going, well, why would a successful person or a, you know, like an X, Y, and Z type of profession even consider Arbonne? Even if you keep in mind going, well, actually, I know so-and-so used to be a GP, do you know what I mean? And they're now here. Or I know so-and-so that's got 3 businesses already on the side, etc. All those little things can actually help you just burst the bubble of that belief to go, well, that shows me that actually it's not true what I think, that, you know, people of a certain level or experience, etc., might not be interested. So I'm just sharing that specifically for you, but that can apply for any situation that if you're very generalized going, oh, what will they think, or it's not for X, Y, and Z, or any belief, just by giving yourself one contradiction to that, it can allow you to let that go. You with me so far? So that could be like, I'm just giving one example. Like, imagine it's if you think, oh, I'm not good at talking in front of a group of people. Right? If you think about one time that you go, there was a group of people, I was talking, and actually it went really well, that stops your mind from going, I have that belief that I'm not good at talking to people in a group. You can go, oh, actually, that's not really true. Most of the time, I'm not comfortable. Does that make sense? So you've moved it from one position, and you've actually moved it along that journey. And sometimes, even that one contradiction of it can actually let it go as well. So I hope that helps, Fiona. And for everybody else as well. And then I'm going to go up to Fiona next. The other Fiona, don't mean your hands up. How are you, Fiona? You all right?
I'm great, thanks. My question is around, I was going to ask the question about consistency that Debbie did, so that was great. So it's taking that to the next level, is the next stage, is how I maintain the momentum. So I find that I do that a bit of stop start. So you know, back September, October, I was had lots of appointments, I was booking things, I was in momentum, I was meeting people, mm-hmm. had people various stages. And then somehow by the time I got to November, early December, my diary seemed to be empty again. I'd all gone quiet and I thought, how did that happen? I didn't notice it happening, it just mm-hmm. suddenly had petered out, this momentum that I was in. So
yeah, that's my question. I would say, really good question there. That's what I'd say is about having the balance between being very short-term versus long-term, okay? So short-term for me is very much about what am I going to be doing today and this week so that you're consistent and actually do it. So going back to what I was saying to Debbie, do you know what I mean? But if you just take a slight like helicopter view, do you know what I mean? And even looking at it from a point of going, okay, what does the next like 90 days look like for me, right? That then also gives you that chance just to get a bit of a flavor and a kind of a map of where you want to get to. So that would be, for example, Fiona, I'm just making this up, but imagine you were to go, well, actually, over the next 90 days, I want to be having 3 product events, okay? So can you see then, even though you might not be talking about the one that you're going to do in 3 months' time or 2 months' time right now, it gives you that chance. So every kind of week that you're plugging in, you're always then going, okay, but and what's coming up on the horizon? So therefore, it then allows you to then get to that point of going, okay, so when you get into the kind of the week-to-week basis, your activities might change. I mean, because one of the weeks, a couple of weeks before, you might be going, right, okay, now I'm ramping up, inviting people and following up. I mean, the week of it, you might be going, okay, now I'm focusing more on the making it an amazing event. The week afterwards, it might be I'm going to give amazing customer service and after sales, etc. Okay, but the reason why I'm saying kind of like go into the detail and then kind of go up points is because it'll give you that pre-warning a lot quicker of what has to happen afterwards. Because then you'll quickly, you won't get to the end of the 90 days and go, okay, that's me done, I'm finished, now I need to start again, right? I'd encourage you to keep looking out, you know, going, okay, so what has to happen? Then you go, well, actually, yeah, I need to then start to schedule my next kind of event or what my next promotion will be after it, but not get obsessed with it to overwhelm you at that kind of, in the current kind of level. But when you then kind of look at it in that longer term kind of view, it then stops that start, stop, start, stop, start, stop mentality. And then you can start to see for you, what is that rhythm that actually helps you get consistent results? Okay, so that's where you might go, well, actually, for me to fill up a product event, I typically know that actually I need to be meeting, you know, 50 new people a quarter that I don't know, right? I'm just making this up, these numbers, right? So then you can go, well, how am I going to do that? Well, actually, that means that, you know, if I kind of go, I'm not going to go to that networking event, or I'm not going to go to that X, Y, and Z, or speak to that person, you'll know that that's going to have an impact on your future kind of events, so, or the success of it. So then it gives you that chance to then kind of go, instead of me being completely going, right, I'm going to blitz all networking events just once a month and then never do it again, you go, no, I'm actually better off doing something that's going to keep that consistency going so that I've got that kind of that future pipeline or prospects or opportunities. Does that help, so Fiona, so far, what I'm saying?
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. I really like that idea, because I think that is like it stuck in the weeks I'm in.
Yeah.
And then I'm not looking further ahead as to what's happening the month ahead or the month after that.
Yeah, definitely. But and also just realize, I'm going to, you know, for everybody, depending on your personality, right? So depending on your, you know, and I use kind of the entrepreneurial superpower test, Wealth Dynamics, that gives you a great idea on where you kind of sit there as well. So for example, like myself, like I'm a trader profile, so I'm actually quite detailed and grounded. Natalie, I know you've obviously done it as well, so you're very similar to me as a deal maker. So our natural tendencies in that terms of that type of profile is to be very much more grounded here and now. I mean, whereas you might have people in your team, or you might also be a person that's the opposite personality, which is bigger picture. So you might be constantly be thinking about, yeah, when I get my white Mercedes or when that happens, etc. But you actually might be too big picture, right? You might be too focused on the bigger picture, but you're not actually taking it down a step of, right, what do I need to do to make that happen? So that's why it's important just to get an understanding of, you know, what your personality is, what's your take on it, and how do you actually still kind of still deliver it in a way that will help you move things forward. So I hope that's helped you, Fiona, in that sense.
Yes, thanks very much.
Perfect. I can see, Fiona and Steph's hands are still up. Do you have new questions, or are they still up from last time?
From last time.
From last time, cool. No worries. Cool. Fiona, your hand just went up again. You got another question? No?
Me?
Uh-huh. That's all right.
I put a free question in the chat box.
Okay, cool, perfect. Let me just check. Perfect. And for everybody else, you can keep thinking about questions. I cannot believe, I should just schedule these things for like 2 hours rather than an hour. I mean, I know what it's like. So Natalie said, my question, I would love to develop my skills in tailoring Arbonne to the person that I am meeting. So like ideal questions to ask and how I can paint the vision big enough for them to jump at the chance to join my team. I love the intention behind that, because far too many people I know, they try and just have one size fits all. Do you know what I mean? I just really would spend more time getting curious about that person. Okay, so all I can kind of share with you is just my experience. Obviously, I'm not an Arbonne consultant, so I've never went out to meet anybody to talk about an Arbonne opportunity. But if I can kind of share how I work in terms of, if somebody kind of says to me something like, I'm kind of interested to find out a wee bit about how you know, what we can do, or if I'm at an event in some kind of way, it is about asking lots of questions, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I kind of then ask questions like, you know, I'm just thinking of one person of mine who's decided to work with me. So she's from Tokyo. She heard me on a podcast.
Wow.
And literally, I was like, let's jump on a call. And all I then did was, what sparked you from actually kind of even reaching out? I mean, even asking that question, can you see how it gives a complete different answer? What she said to me, her response was, because I really liked the fact that you came from the corporate world, right? And also, so that gives me a kind of an idea of what's important to her as well. Do you know what I mean? And where she's coming from. So that was important for her to go, actually, you've come from a similar background and I'm interested to see how you move forward. And I just literally kept asking questions and getting really curious around it. So then when she said, okay, so how do we actually, how can we work together? Then I was like, so she actually then opened up the door. Well, the door was all kind of open, but she's like going, right, now tell me more. Do you know what I mean? And it was so much easier to then go, right, okay, yep, perfect. So based upon what you've said, this is kind of the best kind of route going forward. You're with me so far, right?
Yeah.
So that might be for you. You might ask them the you know, great questions, and you get to understand that they might have some particular blocks about going, but could this fit into my world? And I'm a really busy person. I've got my own business already, or I'm not in this industry at all. Do you know I mean? So can you see how, by you listening to them and getting to understand who they are and kind of the type of questions they're asking, you might quickly go, do you know, the next step for them might not be going to a big rah-rah car presentation kind of event or even a big Discover Arbonne kind of meeting. It might just be a bit too much for them based upon their personality or the questions that they had. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So instead, yeah, you might go, do you know something, based upon what we've spoken about, I really want you to connect with one of my other colleagues, somebody else I know that's similar background, or I know has got a consultant. That, so therefore, you're actually tailoring that experience for them. And therefore, mm-hmm, it then allows you to actually kind of be of more value for them as well. Yeah. Whereas for someone else, you might go, seriously, does this kind of really work? And you go, do you know something? I tell you what, come along. There's like, you know, practically a car presentation every week in Scotland now, which is fantastic, yeah, isn't it? Right? So that way, for somebody like that, that might be the best next step for them, because they can go, well, actually, if that's a question that they're asking, well, here's an opportunity for them to see, well, actually, it's not me just saying it, but it's actually kind of happening in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helps. I know it's quite, you know, a bit of a big picture question as well, but really, yeah, just get curious and just keep thinking, can I spend as much time as you can? Do you know what I mean? Kind of asking the kind of right questions. And obviously, there's lots of personality types. There's the four color personalities. I know, when was it AAC? It was like this, are you a squiggle line or squiggle line, etc.? So there's loads. Obviously, I use wealth dynamics a lot, so that kind of gives me an idea of kind of what kind of person they are. And I also know just from you, Natalie, by being a deal maker, right? Personality is, so longer term things work better for deal makers, right? So even if you go, I'm going there to build a solid foundation and kind of keep going, do you know what I mean? Until obviously if they turn in and go, it's not for me, I would say to you, don't keep going, because you're just potentially wasting your time as well. But I'm not saying, you know what I mean by that, right? There's sometimes you just need to listen and kind of go, right, there's other people that have the opportunity. So don't necessarily expect them to go like straight away. But on the flip side, what I'm wanting to say to you is, just because that's your personality, some people make decisions a lot quicker. And I've seen people that they try and use their decision-making strategy on other people. So that person's going, right, okay, where'd I sign up? And they're going, right, so I tell you what we'll do. We'll do this. And you're kind of going, and that person kind of go, well, why are they not helping me move forward? And that could be quite a bit of a turn off as well, or put kind of like doubts in their mind. So be curious, ask lots of questions in there as well.
That's what I normally do before I even do the presentation. I'll ask them what they love about their job, what they love about, you know, what they've been doing, where they see themselves in 5 years, and, you know, what motivates them to be successful. So I'm asking those types of questions, and then trying to, if they say they love holidays or whatever, I'll try and focus more on the holiday side of things. Yeah. So
and tailoring it in that sense. Yeah. And even just asking that question, you know, like, you know, because it helps to uncover what your values are. So, you know, what's important to you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that can then allow you to then go, well, you know, is it their kids? Is it having free time? Is it free? Whatever it might be. And then it just quickly allows you to go, right, how do I move it forward? But just don't, you know, I'd say don't go in with a preconceived idea or an agenda. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I know, again, I can only show one example quickly before I move on. I remember there's one person that I was coaching who was speaking to someone that came to my Christmas party actually a couple of years ago, and they were interested to kind of find out a bit more. And they were going, right, Kia, what's the best kind of way? And they were like, right, I'm going to do presentations and slides and stuff to go. And I just was like going, I know that person. I was like, that's a complete turn off for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Literally just go there and see what happens. If they ask for more, you've got that prepared. But they're the type of person that they just literally, you'd get better results and a better conversation just by going, let's have a coffee.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to present, because you'll turn them off. So you just need to recognize that there are different kind of people and different styles as well.
I think I need to read that color personalities book again.
Yeah, cool. Lots of different kind of ways. Also check the, you know, me quite specific here, but with Wealth Dynamics, so obviously you know your profile, there's actually also the selling guide for that inside the Transformation Exchange resource. I'll send you a link to it, but if you go to the file awesome section in our group, you can download that. It might be a good, it'll help you on that as well.
Perfect, thank you.
So, Marie Claire, you mentioned personalities. I'm quite an introverted person. I struggle at times to build up the energy to spend talking to people, hosting events, etc. Are there any tips for coping with them? Just recognizing and owning your personality as well. Do you know what I mean? Not trying to compare yourself around the standards or the strategies that would work for someone that's the complete opposite profile for you. So for you, I would actually be saying, you know, like, do what works for you. Do you know what I mean? So if you were going, actually, I'm better off kind of having, you know, more one-to-ones rather than doing big events, do that. Do you know what I mean? And stop kind of giving yourself a hard time for that as well. Sometimes extroverted people actually turn off other people as well. Do you know what I mean? So you're not going to connect with everybody in that kind of that situation as well. So I would just be kind of managing your time, your energy. This goes also back to batching. So I'm not saying in any way to hide yourself away, because you will still have to push yourself out your comfort zone, right? But can you see if you were to then go and do plan your diary to have like an event to go meet network like 3 nights in a row, you probably get to night three and you just go, I just literally want to hide in my bed and watch Scandal or something, right? Or whatever box set you like, right? So instead of doing that, you're actually better off to set yourself up for success to go, okay, minimum one, I'm just making this up, but minimum one event where I'm going to meet new people a week. That for me would be better off, because I know I'll be pushing myself out of my comfort zone. I know that I'll take more energy that I'll have to kind of tap into, but I'll actually know I can do that more consistently rather than having that stop start kind of mentality there as well. And not being frightened not to do certain things. Okay, so I was having a conversation with one of my one-to-one clients, and she was saying things like, everybody's doing Facebook Lives and everything, and there she's really introverted. And I'm not saying introverted people cannot do things like that. So it's not a hard and blanket kind of approach. And I was like, okay, but what's your intention? What are you looking to do? Well, I want to kind of just showcase a wee bit more of what I'm doing and stuff. And I'm like, okay, perfect. But who are you wanting to kind of showcase that to? And she's like, well, there's people on my Facebook page, etc. And she was able to name like 4 or 5 people that she's like, I would love for them to be able to see this. And I'm going, well, you know, just find a way to connect with them. Have a coffee or have a conversation. It'll be so much better for you rather than you having to kind of feel like you have to do something that's a completely different personality for you as well. So I hope that helps you, Marie Claire. Yeah, cool. So Carolina, when you've not spoken to someone in years but you'd love to share the business with them, how do you go about contacting them? Do you just jump in or do you get to know them first? I am a firm believer of getting to know people first, okay? Because think about it in this sense, you know, if you went on a first date with someone and somebody said, would you marry me? What would you do? Hopefully, what would you do? Do you know what I mean?
I'd run away.
You'd run away, yeah, okay. And I also find that actually people get that, they smoke that out a lot about, you know, is it a genuine connection that they're trying to kind of find? Do you know what I mean? Because if they go straight into, how are you getting on, Kyle? You know, like, it's fine, I've not seen you for years, I'm fantastic. Well, I want you to come to this event. It's kind of like, okay, did you just reach out to me because I'm on your list? Instead of actually going, I'd love to invite them. So they're on a bit of a more of a longer term strategy. Even just by going, you know, hey, you popped in my head. Do you know what I mean? I was like, how's things going for you? And then kind of going, well, actually, keep that momentum going, have that conversation, even going, do you know, whether you've messaged them something, going, do you know what, it feels like it's been ages, I'd love to catch up, fancy jumping on a call, do you know what I mean, or let's meet for a coffee, it then moves things forward in a more of a slower kind of pace. I'm not saying that always works, right, because there might be some people that they tell you something or you hear and they go, this actually is a great, great thing for me to kind of share with them or to take that next step. So you have to trust yourself to know when is a great opportunity staring in your face to go, I'm going to do it, but not doing something that you feel that's not congruent with you. If you're feeling like, I'm tongue-tied because I'm going to ask them, that's a sign for me that actually you're probably not in that right stage of that communication for you to really take that next step. But that's just my personal belief around that. Does that help you? Yeah, cool. I think there's just some other recommendations for books there. So just for the purpose of those that are listening to the audio replay, Hazel's recommended How to Sell Network Without Fear, Anxiety, or Losing Your Friends by Michael Oliver. And Natalie has recommended Eric Worre. Well, no, so saying Eric Worre is an introvert and he often talks about this in his videos. Absolutely, yeah. I'm in the middle between an introvert and an extrovert at points. That's why I so much prefer doing things like this, because I actually feel like I get to have conversations it feels more one-to-one when I'm having Q&As. Even having videos on make a big difference for me. Otherwise, I feel like it's like just a kind of a blank kind of expressions. But I also at points do things like big speaker sessions and stuff where I don't have that feedback. But kind of going back to what I was saying to you, Mary Claire, I purposely wouldn't have like a whole week of speaker sessions, because that would actually floor me. I wouldn't get that energy that I need from it, compared to having kind of that more kind of smaller one-to-one or small group situations as well. Hazel saying, do Facebook lives with someone else. I find it hard to tell when to, you find it hard to tell when to ask. Do you want to tell me a bit more about that, Hazel?
I think it's just when you're talking about building that relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
I find it difficult to know at what point do you say you ask. And I think it just probably comes with experience. Yeah. Like, I met a girl today and she obviously was just saying things, and I just said, do you know what? Come along and hear about the business on Tuesday night, and she's going to come. Yeah. And she was asking me after, send me the details, and that's great. Yeah. But other times you feel as if you've asked it to somebody too soon, and it's just trying to, how do you, you know, as much as you know that you're asking the right questions, and you're always told you have to, it's a relationship business and stuff, but you also want a sense of urgency in your business. You know, and obviously you're keen to help as many people as you can as quickly as you can and get that message across. As much as I come across saying, I'm here to share this business, I'm not here to convince anybody. Yeah. I just want to give you this opportunity and remember that, you know, how grateful people are once they get it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can damage relationships if you ask too soon.
Yeah.
And you're like, but would they be right anyway? I don't know.
And I think that is kind of where it's there's no right or wrong answer, Hazel, right? And it comes down to just feeling like trusting yourself as well, because you will learn, and there will be things that you'll go, you'll go, ah, man, I did it too quick. But you'll learn from that. You'll kind of relearn, well, what was going through my mind? What was I hearing? What were they saying to me? What was the reason for me to kind of ask? What was the cues or the signals that I got? So that'll help you fine tune that going forward as well. So I'm not saying that's what I'm saying. There's no hard and fast rule. It's not like ask them 5 days later. Do you know what I mean? Because you do just want to help kind of ask questions. Like, I remember one person that I was hearing, and I was actually in a Starbucks, right? I can share this with you. Really paint the picture. Starbucks in Silverburn. I was busy working away. And you know, like how we've got what's called a reticular activating system? So your mind's always looking for things that are familiar. So can you imagine if I'm sitting working away and then literally it's a noisy Starbucks, but I hear somebody kind of mention the word Arbonne, what would happen in my head? I'd go, like, who is that? Do I mean? And it wasn't someone that I knew of. Do I mean? So literally, I wasn't eavesdropping. I was, right? But I was getting on with my work and stuff. And literally, she was with her friend, and it seemed to me, I mind read a lot of this, that she wasn't, they hadn't seen each other for some time, and the friend was heavily pregnant, okay? And literally, the friend was going on about, oh, I just so look forward to finishing work, and I'm actually, she was genuinely excited about kind of like the new baby to come, etc., you know, and stuff, right? And I could just sense that the friend still was there, but not listening, was listening for the moment to go, when can I start talking about it? Do you know what I mean? And then she actually did, and I literally was cringing, and I really was sitting there going, please, I need to move tables, okay? And this was a good couple of years ago. And literally, you can then, from the flow of the conversation, of hearing that friend in terms of the way that they're talking, the passion, etc., to then, like, afterwards, it was kind of like really a stilted kind of conversation. But, and I'm sitting there going, you really didn't listen to what she was saying, how she was so excited about, you know, this next couple of months and stuff. So actually for her, Paul was not the right moment for her to talk about it. Maybe after the baby's come, it might have been better. Do you mean to then allow to go, well, that's kind of where, you know, you get with what I mean? And I'm mind reading this, but it's just about listening to different kind of people in different kind of situations and going, is this the right kind of moment in that way as well? But whereas if somebody else was sitting there going, you know, I'm really looking forward, I'm kind of a bit worried, I'm a bit bored. I mean, like one of my good friends from high school, she went off maternity leave, and the week before her baby was due, she then signed up to do like a master's degree in her maternity year, because she tends to get bored and she likes to get involved with things. That type of person had to go, do you know something? Do you know what I mean? I want to make sure, you know, you avoid getting bored. This might be something that might be interesting to you. So you kind of need to get to know what they're saying and what their personality and what kind of person that is as well. So hope that helps in some way. Any other questions that have come or any other live questions? I do appreciate that. I know we've got a couple of people on audio. So we've got Abda, we've got Sarah, Viv, Vivian, Emma and Jennifer and somebody called User. I don't know who User is, so I hope you're not a wee spy or something you got in here secretly. Only joking. So I hope you're getting value. But any other questions from you, please do feel free to unmute yourself or type away in a chat if you're accessing it that way as well. Any other questions from anybody else before we... No? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I do appreciate the time and I know some people have got plans and stuff to do. So there have been other questions that have come in the group as well, which I know I've covered a lot of them. So I am going to continue, but I'm going to go through these questions. So feel free if you have got time, do you know what I mean, and you want to kind of hear, you're more than welcome to kind of be here with me. If you're kind of going, actually, no, the kids really need to get to bed now or, you know, whatever else you've got on, absolutely respect your time as well. So feel free to head off as well. And I will send a replay to everybody as well. So even if you then go, actually, let me listen just to the last kind of like, you know, part of it. I mean, it might be like 5-10 minutes, then you can get the answers that I'm going to kind of go through as well. So Abda, just got a message. I hope you've got lots of golden nuggets tonight. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all on the 25th. Be prepared. It will be a very practical day. Be prepared for a day that I'm going to get you to really not just think and not just leave feeling motivated and inspired, but actually going, right, what practical action am I going to be taking? There'll be chances for you to work individually. There'll be chances for you to work together. There will be a chance I'm going to build in for to have some kind of live Q&A as well. So I don't want it to just be like a day where you just come and, you know, get lots of things downloaded to you. I really do want you to kind of have that chance to really learn, not just from me, but from the other people within the group as well. So definitely make the best use of that day. I'll also send you through, at some point next week, so I don't want to overwhelm you all, I'll send you through the audio training bonus podcast that you're going to get as part of signing up on the Early Bird offer as well. So that will also help you with some extra top tips to move things forward. So thank you for that. I know some people are saying that they have to log off, so that is perfect. But I'm going to continue. So if anybody else wants to stay with me, perfect. If not, I'll just pretend that there's people here. So I'm just going to go through quickly the questions and see if I've covered them. Fiona, I believe I answered your question about motivation and courage to relaunch. And Leah... to rebuilding, yep. So again, I think the essence of that is about kind of bouncing back and keeping things fresh. What I would say is if somebody is kind of looking at starting something again, whether it's a promotion or doing something new, is the best way to just be as specific as you can to go, what does success look like? So if you're hearing yourself saying things like, oh, I want to really grow my business, I want to kind of meet lots of people, well, that's still quite really woolly, do you know what I mean? But actually just going, well, what would success look like? Well, actually that would look like for me doing 5 bag drops this week or this month, okay, or having X amount of QV. The more detailed and specific you are, the easier it is for you to kind of measure your success around that as well. Debbie asked, I would ask, how do you suggest getting more independent consultants genuinely interested in me and building businesses for themselves and likewise clients to purchase? Good question. So we had a couple of kind of examples. I think it is about conversations, Debbie. I mean, it's literally kind of thinking about, well, where are you hanging around as well? I've worked with people in the past where I kind of they're saying that they're not meeting new people. When I actually ask them, so tell me what you've done this week, they spent like 70-80% of their time at home, not getting out and not speaking to people. It's going to be hard to then find those kind of people. So genuinely kind of think about, you know, who are those people that you would love to kind of meet? What kind of personalities, what kind of backgrounds, for example, and they might already be in your network. How can you start to build a relationship or develop that relationship to help you to see if it is the right thing? But I hope the example about kind of opening doors rather than kind of going trying to make everybody genuinely interested kind of helps, because people that are genuinely interested will then kind of take those next steps. You just need to kind of help them see some of the things through asking the right questions, sharing small opportunities, and seeing if that could help as well. So Katie, I think I answered your question about time management techniques. Alison, I know you got to ask your questions live. team dynamics is really interesting, Alison. I know you mentioned about managing and coaching teams. I said this on a previous call. I think it might have been in my group call, the Transformation Exchange one. If you're managing people, so if I was starting an Arbonne business and I had a person starting my business in my team, before even getting them, you know, started and talking about all the nitty gritty and all that kind of stuff, I would actually spend a lot of time, even the first kind of time that after they sign up to go at Perfect, let's actually find out how can we best work together, because I really want to kind of help you build success. And really just taking that time, so you're not trying to kind of overwhelm them with about QV and extra, and just go, okay, so tell me some things that have worked really well for you in the past. What are you really proud of? Well, say if they say, for example, I'm really proud that I got the degree that I wanted to do. Okay, perfect. So really curious, because a lot of what we've done in the past can help us within Arbonne. So how did you make that happen? Well, actually, I had a timetable that I studied time and I made it happen. Perfect. Well, do you know something? You sound like the type of person that needs that structure, do you know what I mean, to make that happen. So let's kind of make sure that we build that into your getting started kind of guide. You with me on that? Does that make sense? Whereas somebody else might go, I'm just the type of person that I'm just ready to go. I'm really, really excited. And you go, perfect. Okay, well, you don't want to hold them back, but you also just kind of want to kind of help kind of get that enthusiasm kind of turning into activity in that right way to go, let's, how do we take that energy that you have that you want to go and speak to 10 people? Let me give you an example. So they might be so excited by getting out there and sharing it with everybody, but they don't know what they don't know yet. Do you know what I mean? So that's where you can go, right, okay, so talk to me about the person that you really want to share this with, right, okay, it's my sister-in-law, perfect, and tell me a wee bit. Well, based upon that, this might be a good, you know, thing for you to know. Do you know what I mean? Based upon what you've said. So you're helping them have a better conversation when they're excited, rather than kind of like going and being all scrambled and turning that person off for the first time that they might have heard about it. So really what I'm trying to say in essence is, the more time you spend with your team understanding, well, how are we going to communicate with each other as well? Do I mean, actually, what do you need from me and what do I need from you? It will absolutely help you to kind of have that balanced relationship going forward, so it doesn't feel like you're always having to kind of pull teeth or you're having to manage. You can actually coach and you can set things up from the start. And so let me just ask, just for those that are kind of still on the call, when you've had a person join your team, would you say you spent quite a lot of time up front kind of really getting to know them and how they best work and asking very like questions like that? Yeah, cool. And you'll probably find that helps you help them. So just don't get too excited is what I'm saying, because that actually can stop some of the best way of working with them and getting that time dynamic. So hope that helps you, Alison, just around them. And then Marnie asked the question, so I kind of started it off, it was, what would be the best way to be able to motivate and train lots of people so that each of them get the best for them for a single training? Again, start off by kind of, you know, giving the responsibility over to the people that are sitting in the room to go, you will get what you need to get from this training, but it's up to them to choose what they need to get and to then prime their minds and take the action to get it. So it's in the same way when I will do the mastermind day with you, I absolutely do everything that I can to help you create rapid transformations, but I can't come in there in your minds and go, right, Cage, you know, like, change your mind with a screwdriver or something. But I will invite everybody to go, well, do you know, literally, what are those things that are holding you back? And actually, I'd invite you to be in a space here which is going to be very safe. It's going to be very honest, for example. So actually, ask the questions that you know that you need to ask, or deal with the thing that's going to make the difference for you. Have you ever been to a training course or even read a personal development book and you read something and it hits you because you go, that is my thing that really is holding me back, but you kind of go, I'm not going to work on that. I'm going to work on that one, because you're kind of like just butting your head on the sand. Or you go, that's a great book, flip the page and don't do the actual exercise. I mean, so really it's about kind of just being really upfront and kind of saying to people that, you know, I'm here to help you, but you kind of need to kind of also kind of really step things up to kind of create that change as well. So it's just about facilitation. So I hope that kind of helps. And that's why at the beginning of this call, I asked everybody to think about what do they want to get from the call, so that I'm sure, like, again, I can only ask for feedback from you. Did you get something from listening to somebody else's question that you didn't even think you would?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's because your mind was kind of primed as well to go, okay, what are some of my challenges, etc., or what do I want to get? And then it allows you to kind of hear things in a slightly different way as well. So hope that helps you, Marnie. And Ilsa said, the last question here is, how do I get over the fear of the telephone other than practice? I had the awful feeling that I'm bothering people, calling at the wrong time, kids are in the bath, kids are going to bed, baby sleeping, middle of the dinner, etc. Overthinking to the point that you don't do it. You're fine if you arrange a time, but not off it, so kind of off the cuff in that way. So yeah, practice, obviously practice is makes perfect, I mean, in that sense. But and I'll share some techniques with you from NLP during the workshop, the Mastermind Day. But what I would just say is think about doing things in a way that feels quite natural for you, okay? So for me, I tend to, when I'm making phone calls, I tend to kind of, I can't sit behind a desk really, do you know what I mean? Because it seems quite structured in that sense. But whereas if I'm sitting, kind of, I'm standing up, for example, or if I'm kind of sitting on a sofa, it kind of feels more natural, it feels less stressful. So think about the right environments for you that can actually kind of work for you, even if you work in the house. I mean, kind of what I call having different zones so that you do certain things at different places. Also, just kind of ask yourself the question of, do you always follow the same routine yourself? I mean, so like, do you always have lunch between like 12 o'clock on the dot? The amount of people that say, oh, I can't phone between 12 and, you know, like 1 because that's lunch hours. And I'm like, seriously, if you ever take a glimpse of my life, there's times I'm having my lunch, I mean, at like 3 o'clock, I mean, and et cetera. So just kind of, it allows you to call out that actually a lot of those assumptions are just in your head. But give yourself that chance, you know, like to go, well, you know, all you can do is to kind of pick up that phone and kind of even ask the pair, you know, is now a good chance, you know, a good moment to kind of have a chat. If they go, no, the kids got to bed, going, I totally understand, when is better for you? Do you know what I mean? It's better if I call, instead of leaving it too open to go, I'll call you back, go, well, when's better for you? Shall I give you a call tomorrow morning, or is kind of, you know, tomorrow evening better? They'll then tell you more in terms of actually, you know, the evening's really hectic this week for me. Actually, tomorrow lunchtime would be good. Do you know what I mean? So therefore, it would help you to take that next step to actually have that decent call, because then if they're expecting it as well. So hopefully small things like that can kind of help you. Don't always think about just making these connections with how do you take that next step. So that would be success for me. If I phoned up someone and they said, I can't really talk just now, but if they go, give me a call tomorrow afternoon, as long as I then follow through and I put them in my diary and actually deliver, because therefore they're also expecting, and it's harder for that person, obviously they can not pick up, right? But it's harder for them to go, oh, I've kind of said to them to call back. So there's that bit of kind of, I can't remember what it's called, is it there's kind of one of the Cialdini's influencing kind of things, it's that element, if they agree to something, it's harder to kind of back out of it kind of from a kind of a feelings based as well. But yeah, we also would say to you, just, I will help you with this on, I'll share some NLP techniques on the Mastermind, but think about something that you love doing that's so effortless, right? So like, imagine if you're just like, you know, if you're great at having a blether with your best friends, etc. Do you mean, or you're fine if you go dancing, whatever it might be. I don't know exactly what you do, Ilsa, but think about that, get into that kind of state to go, yeah, I'm just relaxed, I'm so natural around it. And when you can get yourself into that state and then kind of make that phone call, you're doing it based upon being in that state rather than you being so worked up. Because if you're really worked up before you make it, what will happen? You will be nervous on the phone. You won't kind of come across the way that you want to. So it's all about being state dependent. So hope those little tips help you so far. But definitely I'll share more with you during the Mastermind. So I hope that has been valuable. Any other questions from anybody here before I wrap up? No? So thank you for your full attention. Thank you for playing full out and participating fully. And I look forward to catching you all on the 25th. And if there is anything in between now and the 25th, then please do reach out. I've got the Rapid Transformation Facebook group called the Rapid Transformation Zone. So you should have got that link in your email. That's also a place where you can ask questions, and I'm going to be doing more Facebook Lives, etc. So definitely, if you're not inside that free Facebook group, then please do jump on, and then we can keep in touch before the 25th. So you have a lovely evening, everybody, and I'll catch up with you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, my pleasure. Bye.
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 Thanks, Osmond.
I hope you like seeing my wee kitten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on then.
Did you choose a name? I'm going to stop there.